I do remember watching the first Alien versus Predator movie and thinking, I will never watch this pairing again. And then watching the trailer, the red band, like you described for the second one, and thinking, oh, I think I'll watch that. Yeah. You know,
we were all sucking in. Yeah.
Hello and welcome to the AV Forum's Movies and TV podcast for July 2024. Tonight, I'm joined by Simon Crust.
Hello.
And Mark Costello.
Hello, hello.
For this month's podcast, we'll be offering up our usual top 10 list of things to watch in July, and then we'll deep dive into our topic of the month. Is the marketing of movies part of the problem with modern cinema? You're looking at
spoilers.
Bad trailers, yes, misleading interview comments, pandering to the audience, or just a complete lack of promotion. More on that later.
All of the above.
Or all of the above. First, competitions. Hardware competitions, there's loads. Win £500 to spend with MPB. MPB is the largest global platform to buy, sell, and trade used photo and video gear. Win the Denon AVR X1800H AVR. Two AVRs worth $699 from Peter Tyson.
Nice.
The 7.2 AV receiver has been reviewed favorably on the site by our very own Martin Dew. Closing date 11:59 p.m. Friday, the 2nd of August, 2024. You can win some. Hey, help me, help me. I don't know. Haydenese.
It sounds French.
Okay. You can win some of those headphones from the luxury French hi-fi brand. Oh, sorry. It's French. You're right. It's Head-ins. Focal. These brand new headphones are worth $599 and come courtesy of AV.com. Win a pair of Q Acoustics M40 powered micro tower speakers and a pair of QED digital cables worth a total of $1,069. AV Forums recently reviewed these and awarded them 10 out of 10 and best in class.
Wow.
Closing
nice.
11:59, Wednesday, July 31st. Also, closing 11:59, Sunday, 11th of August, you can win a streaming system worth $2,400, which includes a Roxanne Atessa integrated streaming amplifier and Monitor Audio Silver 100 7G bookshelf speakers. Head over to avforums.com/competitions to enter. Competition open to eligible AV Forums members over 18, resident in the UK. And go get yourself some Blu-rays and Steelbooks while you're waiting.
Yeah!
New patrons.
Some seriously good prizes there, actually.
There are some really good hardware prizes in there. But you can also win Chinatown and...
Yep.
And, like...
Also Soldier Blue on AV Forums.
Yeah, and Soldier Blue.
Also favourably reviewed on AZ Forums.
And The Conversation.
Nobody cares about that.
Yeah. Teal.
New patrons. Mr. Black 79, Rick Buchan, Koypin, Roger Tinsley, and
Welcome.
Coffee, Repo Man 666. So without further ado, let's look at the best titles we've watched in July 2024. I put Sunny in here. It's a new sort of dark comedy sci-fi with Rashida Jones on Apple. Episodes are like 24 minutes each, which is really quite attractive. Mm-hmm. The humor is dark. It's like a woman who lives in Japan, emigrated to Japan, had a family there, and her husband and kid died in a plane crash.
Nice.
All she's left behind is a robot called Sunny. And it's a slightly futurist Japan.
One
where...
would hope so.
So it's it's a gender switch robot and Frank?
Maybe. The robot starts displaying traits a little bit like her late husband.
She goes
into a mystery about whether robots might be mistreating humans. And when I say robot, I mean, it looks like the robot from Big Hero 6. I mean, it's not like she's got Robocop at home.
That would be awesome if she had. She would not be sad if she had RoboCop at home.
I've also put in here Iron Claw. It's now on Amazon. I mean, it's an older film now, but it's a great watch, and it's on Amazon for everybody.
Is it a great watch? Or is it more of a depressing watch?
Okay, we're going to get into this. Yes, it's a depressing watch. It's like The Wrestler.
Yeah.
And it's very good. Eileen.
The Wrestlers.
Well, minus one. Wrestlers minus one.
Yeah, marketing missed something there, didn't they? Yeah. Really did. We'll come on to that later. Egypt.
Eileen is good. And I would say you have to go into it a little bit blind. I mean, I did a completely spoiler-free review, but the last half an hour take a very dark turn. That's on Sky. Anyone but you, I enjoyed this, Mark.
So did I.
It was nonsense, but
it was light and frothy and full of beautiful people being beautiful and doing beautiful things.
That's on Sky. It's a rom-com. It's fine. Bike Riders, which is where I get this great hair from today.
You wish, Kaz.
Yeah, that's coming to Sky, I think, in a week. It's not long now.
Wowza.
And there's a reason why, isn't there? I mean, again, we'll come into this, but I think that was really badly marketed. I mean, it's not the greatest film, but I think it was really badly marketed. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to Disney in August. I really enjoyed that. And I wasn't ready for another Apes movie. I was happy with the last trilogy. I'm not sure about another trilogy, but I really enjoyed this as a fresh start. And I also really enjoyed Axel F. Beverly Hills Cop 4. Am I the only one here who's seen that?
Yes. Yeah. You're the only one here who's seen half of these things.
God almighty. Guys, anyway, it's Beverly Hills Cop 4. I mean, after the third one, the only way is up. Yeah, really. It was so nice having them even take the piss out of the third one. It's quite nice that everybody on board knew how bad that was and what they needed to do to make this halfway acceptable. Long Legs, that was you, Mark.
That was me. I saw
I've heard good things.
It was very good. It is all about the atmosphere. Oof, I tell you what, Osgood Perkins as a director is something else. You feel this film just sort of pressing down on you from the minute it starts. It's beautiful. It's terrifying. It's unsettling. It's claustrophobic. It is a real visceral reaction to what he does. And it's brilliant. But to be fair, the film needs it because the story is
pony. Yeah, I got that from your review.
Well, I mean, the thing is, though, it's and again, we'll come on to maybe this and some of the marketing stuff. It's being talked about in the same vein as classic procedurals. Say what you like about Seven. Say what you like about Silence of the Lambs. They work as police procedurals. There is a logic, a mystery, an intrigue, an interest in the investigation. None of that here. There are huge jumps, narrative WTFs abound because Perkins is not interested in the script. He's interested in character. He's interested in tone. He's interested in mood. And luckily for him, there's so much of that in Long Legs. It carries it through. Nicolas Cage is deliriously unhinged. He's not in it for a huge amount of time, but he is. It's Mandy. His performance in Mandy meets Kevin Spacey in Seven. It's a little bit special. I would recommend. Now, interestingly enough, when I wrote the review, I wrote on the sort of log line for the front sheet, I'd originally written the best horror film of the year. And then I thought, hang on a minute, I'm gonna dial that back and I'll change it to the best horror film experience of the year. Because I think that sums up Long Legs. It is an experience. It gets you, and it's well worth it just to feel that in the cinema. So yeah, I thought it was well worth seeing, even with all its very obvious foibles, shall we say.
We're going to come back to this later, but I'm going to tout that as one where the marketing was spot on.
Oh, yes.
So because I found a lot where the marketing was lacking.
I tell you what's actually going on from that. It'd be so easy for the marketing to have missold the film, but the feeling you get from watching those trailers is the film. That for 110 minutes. Whew. So for once, the trailers don't missell the film in terms of what it actually is. So good job, marketeers.
For once.
Yeah, that's it. That's the only nice things we'll say about the marketing folk for this podcast. While you can.
Yeah, I feel like we should go with marketeers. Yes. I think marketeers from now on.
Return of the marketeers.
Yeah, something.
Dare I say.
The Bear was my pick of the month. A lot of people have said it's not as good as the first two seasons, but come on. It's like the first two seasons were awesome, apart from for Mark. But the season three is more tremendous TV. That's on Disney now. And also as a shout out, because it'll be coming out in July, Horizon Part One, whether or not they'll drop the Part One, is coming to digital next week. We're going to be talking about that in the marketing column.
I wonder why.
Right. So our topic of the month. So I guess we're looking at the impact of movie marketing on audience expectations. How, you know, movie trailers, promotional stuff, and there is a lot. We talked about this briefly before, I think, or maybe repeatedly, is the notion that we went from a stage when films might be announced, like you might read that a film is upcoming in Empire, and then they would be a poster and a trailer and they'd be in the cinemas. Now we get, I've read the script, this actor's interested. Oh no, it's going to be this actor. 2 years pass. It's finally started shooting. And then you hear about some of the stuff while shooting. And then you hear it stop shooting. And then you hear it started up again with reshoots. You know, like you hear the whole blow by blow, every stunt, every dropped cast member, every accident on set, everything that possibly could happen. And by the time it lands with you, that's even before the standard sort of trailers. And we now have trailer posters teasing that a trailer is going to be dropped the next day. And I think like trailer GIFs.
Trailers.
Yeah, we literally do. And that's just for the preview trailer. And like, there's like four or five trailers that come out before the film is finally released. Mm-hmm. And by the time you actually get to see it, I wonder whether some of this marketing is just not doing it any favors.
Mm. Yes, Kaz. Funny you should mention this. To be fair, this came about because we were talking a couple of podcasts ago about the spiraling costs of modern cinema. And what's interesting is that whenever you get to the magic figure of whatever the budget is, everyone always then says, double it for marketing. So instantly, what you're saying is the costs of marketing a modern, let's just, for the sake of it, let's talk about the blockbusters. The cost of marketing is the same cost as to make the bloody thing. That's the world we live in. So instantly, your films are having to work twice as hard to recover the costs of this. But I think you're right, Kaz. I think what prompted the original discussion for this was the furore around Disney Plus's The Acolyte. And specifically some of the comments that were made by the show's creators and showrunners in the name of marketing that might have contributed to the maelstrom of negative criticism that greeted the program even before it launched. And sort of that got us all thinking about, you know, in a modern world, go back to the classic days, you'd get a trailer and you'd see a trailer in one place.
Hopefully it would have rap music.
In the cinema, steady. Come on. Keep your powder dry on.
When is classic days?
Well, you know, back in the day, Si.
The 70s. When? The 70s,
that's what I'm trying to establish. 70s, 60s?
I mean, 70s, 80s, 90s. Let's just say in the pre-internet age. Let's go with that. You'd get a trailer. And if you're lucky, you saw a trailer a few times. Once it was out, you might see the odd poster lying around and maybe the odd TV, shortened version of the trailer on TV. So that's your classic marketing. The internet has changed it all. It's changed everything to do with movies, obviously, and you know, not just the marketing, but criticism, critique. You know, the fact we're able to do this, you know, for starters. So everything has changed, and it was probably worth having a conversation today about: do we think that old model of marketing works in this modern internet digital age? Is it even needed? When you know, someone used to say, and I bet it wasn't Kathleen Kennedy. There's no such thing as bad press.
Yeah.
Tell that to Lucasfilm. Yeah. All right. So you know, that's where all this started. And part of what also was, Kaz, is your insistence that you don't watch trailers. You just refuse to.
Well, I don't either, actually.
But I mean, there's a reason why. If you watch an old trailer, a trailer is like in the old days, and this is pre my time. But you watch an old trailer. Trailer was like a scene from the film. That's it. It's like they didn't have, clearly they didn't have the ability to really string it together a great deal. So it was largely a scene from the film. It wasn't this, I'll take a frame from every scene in the entire movie and display it
in the right order.
Yeah, in front of you. And you know, I've always complained about it because for some reason my brain does think like that. So when I'm watching a film, if I'm like, well, I haven't seen them wear that outfit, I know they're not going to die because I've seen it in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the tiny very little true. Touches I can see, or two people who have met in the trailer and you haven't seen them meet on screen. Well, they're invulnerable until that day.
Yeah,
and
very
so,
true.
Stuff like that really annoys me because clearly I remember it enough for it to spoil the experience when watching the movie. I will tolerate it, but I say enough when I had my two kids watching Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, and like there's a pivotal scene where like the main character is running away from certain people and hoping to be rescued by someone else. And it's like a key sequence which happens in the trailer, and the kids turn to me and go, we've seen this bit, we know what happens here. An 8-year old and an 11-year old are turning to me and going, they've seen it in the trailer. I mean, no, I'm done with trailers.
I tell you what though, there are some fantastic trailers out there. Back in the day, I tell you what, not just because of the shirt I'm wearing, but look at the first trailer for Alien and look at the first trailer for Aliens. And do you know what? Both of them cut from the same cloth.
Of course.
No dialogue. And all it was, it established mood and atmosphere. And the trailers were amazing. Go to, Kaz, you mentioned the T2 Factory trailer.
Yes, great trailer.
You know what a trailer! It showed nothing of the film.
No,
nothing of the film, and it was made basically to say he's back.
Yeah.
That's all it did. And you know what? We went apeshit over it because that's all we needed. So, I'm with you. I am an absolute trailer whore. I will watch.
Yeah, but not anymore, surely.
No.
He still does.
Do not ask me how many versions of the Alien Romulus trailer I've seen just to get an extra two frames of that bit of the big. Is that the big chat? Is that the big chat? I know it's wrong. I know I'm a fool.
Yeah, see, I'm not gonna watch that trailer.
But the thing is, and it's all back to it, is what, where did this thing of we need multiple? I tell you the last example of this, Wolverine and Deadpool. I have lost count of how many different trailers there are for it, and I don't understand why.
Well, the first tease trailer was really good.
Yeah,
I was okay with that. They should have just stuck with that. But then every subsequent one just was like that, plus what happens next and what happens after that. And it's
it just makes me, and this comes from a genuine place of bafflement, because I can't even put myself in the position where I'm like, well, I've seen six trailers, but I'm still not convinced to see this film. I think I'm going to need to see a couple more to convince myself. Do people think like that? Genuine question. Because
I think that the answer there I'm going to give you is that for most sane people who have interest in these movies before the trailer lands, a teaser is more than enough.
Yep.
But for a wider audience, you need a theatrical trailer, because you don't want to hedge your bets on a teaser being enough for them, which I think is bad, because you're basically saying they're not going to see it unless they get teased with all of the good stuff. And I think it's a shame, because my kids wouldn't watch Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes without seeing the trailer. Watch the trailer, and then went, the trailer spoilt the movie whilst watching the movie. So it was a complete catch 22. They wouldn't go for it. They've not seen any of the Apes movies. So they're starting now, and they were like, well, you know, I don't know. Showed them the trailer, like, we're well on board, watch the movie. Oh, the trailer spoiled that bit.
And you're absolutely right, Kaz. And I think the biggest one of those, and you mentioned it again, Dead Reckoning. We were Dead Reckoning Part One.
Yeah, I know.
If that exists, if that's such a thing. But you're right. They didn't drop a trailer to begin with. They teased the big stunt, and it was a behind the scenes of the big stunt. We got that I get there were COVID delays and all that, but we were getting, this is the pivotal moment of the film, kids, a year before the film was out. So you're absolutely right. We see it and we're like, we've seen that.
I mean, my mate was in Bakewell, and his class recorded the train stunt, and then he sent it to me. Must have been like 2 years before the finished film, the train going into the quarry. It's like he sent me a clip of the train going off the edge, and you see so much of this stuff in advance, and you see that whole stunt, and I get it. He did it several times and it is amazing. There's no way that the finished stunt was anywhere near as impressive as it had been built up to be. And I think that's a real shame with marketing these days, because I would have seen the film without any of that.
True. And I think this, though, to some point, trailers are the idea of a trailer these days, it's a catch 22, isn't it? Because you're right. Just like, you know, take your kids. They won't watch it until they've seen a trailer. So you've got to hook people in. And how do you hook people in? Well, you show them all the sizzle of the bacon. You don't show them any of the bacon. Show them all the sizzle.
Yeah.
So I have a degree of sympathy to a point with marketing's job is to do is to get the people in.
Get people. That's all it interest. Is.
The marketing team don't go, I don't give a crap if they enjoy the film. I don't give a crap if they think we ruined it. That's for someone else's job. All our job is to get them into the theatre.
Clearly.
So you can kind of have some sympathy that says, well, of course I'm going to show them all the good stuff. Mm. Why wouldn't I?
I make the policy of now I'll only play the first like 45 seconds. I won't ever do the full trailer. Because you know that it outlasts its welcome and hits the final act, and
it's a really tricky situation, and I suppose at least with some of the trailers,
it never used to be, did it?
We were saying
right at the beginning how good trailers used to be.
Yeah.
So why can they not go back to that?
Because the trailer.
We all went to see the films.
Yeah, but there's more films now. There's more films, isn't there? There's like, whatever, 20 times as many films coming out.
Yeah.
And
you don't need 20 times as many trailers, do you? You just need one good one.
No one knows what a good trailer is. I mean, I completely agree.
We just spoke about it.
Yeah, but they're good for us. We watched Terminator and we saw this Terminator factory, this thing, and it's, I mean, it wouldn't fly these days. People would be like, what's the Terminator? Is that about that old guy? You know,
instead you get the spoiled end of whatever it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like for Winter Soldier. Yeah. For me, that was the ultimate trailer and the worst trailer for the same movie. You know, in Winter Soldier, they went back to the old school, I'll show you a scene. And they showed the lift scene, which up until that point in the Marvel Universe, you had no idea why, like, the goody good guy, Captain America, was getting attacked in a lift. You know, it was like, what's changed in this universe? And then the next trailer, they show the end. They show ships crashing into each other. It's like, what are you doing, guys?
Do you know what though, Kaz? Again, in the running order, I think you mentioned probably a good example of the halfway house, and it was Top Gun Maverick. Now, again, we saw that trailer for God knows, because originally it was coming out.
Yeah, it's a long time before. Yeah,
but do you know what? It was the same trailer. We didn't get 17 different versions of it. And do you know what it did? It still showed bits from the final act, but it showed them out of any context. You had no idea what was going on. You had no idea who anyone was. And even though it dotted some of those key final act scenes in, it was about saying Top Gun is back. That's all it was. So it was about the mood. It was about the vibe.
Yes, they did. They nailed that trailer because I watched the film and I didn't feel like I'd seen stuff from the trailer in that.
So we do still get it. And I'd argue that some of Villeneuve's Dune trailers have also been pretty good in terms of, you know, just a little bit of spectacle to hook you in, but we ain't giving anything away.
It's because his films don't give anything away. Well, so the marketing team are like, what do you want me to do with this?
That's true. But I tell you what, though, trailer reaction, though. I mean, core blimey, we saw it this week, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Yeah,
bloody hell. Bet Ridley Scott is having a word with his music supervisor or a few.
But, I mean, it's a lot, isn't it? It's not a. I mean, luckily, no one's saying, "Oh, the trailer's so bad in the the music's so bad in the trailer, I'm not going to see the film." But it is funny the tone it sets. Like, come on, guys, you make a beautiful trailer and then stick this music on.
But I tell you what, though, is it a work of marketing genius?
Yeah, maybe
to get people maybe. Talking.
Because we're talking about it. At the end of the day, I watched that trailer and I thought, meh, it looks exactly like Gladiator. That's it. I thought, it's just Gladiator, isn't it? Might as well have remade it. But do you know what? All anyone is talking about is the ridiculous rap music. So for all we know, it's an absolute deliberate decision and the marketing team are just sat there smoking massive fat cigars and cracking all those corks out of those champagne bottles because it's all people are talking about.
I would say Gladiator's the right side of good promotion in terms of how they show a shot of where they're filming. They announce that they're going to do it. People are like, what? Then they show a shot of where they're filming. Then they slowly add the cast in. And it's come together now with some posters and then teasers about what's happening, sharks, and you know, and then we'll get to a trailer. And you're right, even with the bad music, it's gone viral. The counterpoint to that for me was Havoc, which has almost tried a similar thing by announcing that Tom Hardy's doing this action movie with the guy from The Raid. And, and then what, 3 years later? Then they're still talking about it every year. We filmed it. Mm. It's brutal. It's violent. They did a sort of a comic book art poster. It looks good. It looks gritty. And then they go, we're doing some reshoots. we haven't quite finished it. We just got one key fight scene to do. And by the time it's released, I guarantee no one will think that this film worked out as planned. It's already got a negative style to it. So Gladiator, they've ridden it all the way in. And should they nail it come release, it's been a sort of a good marketing way of doing it. And Havoc is similar angle, but they've stretched it so far that now people can't possibly think that this worked out well.
Very true. Very true. But I tell you what, though, back to what we said originally about the Acolyte. I mean, oof. Oof. Now, what prompted this was the interviews with the showrunner, mm-hmm. where they were leaning heavily into the theme of it. Now, look, I'm not going to get into whether, you know, all this kind of stuff, the pages and pages of vitriol in the forums for it. But what they were leaning into was the inclusivity, the diversity of it all. And of course, people in some of the press reacted very badly to it. Blah, blah, blah. And before you know it, boom, review bombing starts, you name it. We haven't seen a frame of it yet. So the question is, why? Because I didn't, because interestingly enough, when I watched the first few episodes, I didn't pick up on any of that. I didn't get that from what I was watching. And so you could argue that here, that the showrunner and the creators have done a massive disservice to their product by maybe trying to sell it as something that it's not quite. And then see people react badly to it. The other one, of course, for me, which was much more annoying, was the David Gordon Green Halloween films. You know, the first one came out and it was great. Suddenly, for the next two, you got Jamie Lee Curtis wheeled out saying, oh, yeah, these are really important films dealing with trauma. And granted, I got over the way she pronounced trauma. But they were selling it as elevated horror, as a heightened existential exploration of, you know, and it's like, no, it's Michael Myers shoving knives in people's orifices. But you just think, how has there been a disconnect between the people who are making it, what they think the market wants, and the final product? And I think sometimes now, some of these creators just need to shut up and get out of the way of their product.
I would agree.
Oh,
yeah, I would agree with interviews. I think that interviews and comments made by people before it's launched is dubious at best. But didn't we have a spate of like Spielberg seeing every new movie and saying it's great? You know,
Tom Cruise as well.
Yeah, particularly like his. It was always the ones that were off the back of his franchises, so like the latest indie movie, and goes great. You know, he'd just go in and go to all of them and go, yeah, they did a fantastic job. Mm. And to the point where you hear him say it and you go, yeah, no, it really isn't.
He hasn't seen it.
Yes. So I don't know whether they need to have this commentary in it at all. I don't think the behind the scenes stuff, I mean, it worked with Gladiator maybe, but I don't think that too much of it is a good idea. But I do think that interviews are just a big no. Just don't do them until after.
But they've been around for ages, and they still do them. It's one of the big selling points, isn't it? You get the, because they only have like 2 or 3 minutes each, so they get the bloke from the paper sitting down with two bods. What do you think of it? Always ask the same questions.
What
and you only get to see the bad ones because they make interesting viewing. Because the bloke's fed up and answering the same question 70 or 80 times, and he says, and there you go. You've got your selling point.
And I suppose ultimately, you know, you look at. So I foolishly spend a bit of time on YouTube. Don't ask me. I should know
foolish.
Better.
But very, very foolish.
Checking it out, you look
all those
at
adverts. I don't know.
Yes, but you look at some of the big movie critics, for want of a better word, you know, the likes of,
don't critical... mention any names.
Well, no, because I'm going to, but they're the big ones. The likes of Critical Drinker, Nerdrotic,
Barry Norman.
If Barry Norman had a YouTube channel, I'd be all over it. Love me some Barry Norman. No, but my point being is these guys have massive audiences.
Yeah.
And I'd argue that they can act as more of a marketing tool for free than any of the crap we've talked about today.
Influencers.
Possible. I mean, you want to call them an influencer as opposed to a critic. Fair enough. But this is the point, the landscape's changed.
Maybe.
And then you factor in things like viral marketing. You know, who needs...
But are they not just in it for their own hits? They don't care about the film, do they?
Well,
they're
I'd argue...
They're in it to make a noise about something for their own purpose.
Oh, of course they are. And half the time, I don't agree with what they're saying at all. But the point being is that these guys have more of a conduit to the market than these expensive marketing teams, and they're engaging more with the market than the interviews where they wheel. Yeah, so it's true. Just, is there something different? I mean, back to this idea of the viral marketing. I mean, the horror film from, was it last year, the year before? Smile. You know, the
That was right? Good marketing.
Right. That viral marketing where there were like clips of people at a sports thing and you just saw someone in the crowd turn with that smile. Christ on a stick, freak me out. Something that was rotten.
That was good. That
did more than any trailer ever could do. Let's see some more of that rather than this trailer crowd. Let's think differently about some of this stuff. Go on.
Well, I was going to say that really they nailed it recently with the style they approached for long legs, didn't they?
Mm.
That was the one you mentioned, a series of like posters of shots of the back of people's heads, or like a blanket with something underneath it. It would just like legs and arms sticking out. I mean, the marketing from that just seemed to go with unsettling. And then the reviews come in and everyone's saying unsettling. Mm.
Less
and,
is more.
Mm. Yeah, and it worked. Totally. I mean, the box office is in, I think.
Yeah, have a look. 22 million, I think.
Which is insane. In the last 10 years, only 15 indie flicks have cracked 20 million opening weekend.
Mm,
and it was a 10 million budget.
But I think, but do you know what? So you're absolutely right. The trailers were brilliant. The posters were brilliant. Gave nothing away other than the atmosphere. But I think crucially, they didn't missell it. So many times trailers do. They either missell a film. They lay on it, which is one thing, which is, naughty. Naughty marketing people. The other thing, though, is what it does to expectations, which obviously no one can control. And I've had so many films, I'd argue, I've come out of films more disappointed because it didn't meet my expectations.
Yeah, I can see that.
Anything else. So, you know, it's, blimey, it's... I mean, I would argue that in this day and age, I simply cannot fathom why the cost of modern blockbusters needs to be doubled for marketing in this day and age when the internet is free.
It's free. Yeah.
Why? I mean, for God's sake, you could argue. And
because
I think
because you get Bike Riders and Horizon. So there are other examples. There's two different types of marketing, isn't there? There's the nothing cost of social mediaing a picture from behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Okay, there's that marketing style. And Horizon, for me, Horizon was completely misread the landscape. I mean, it was just stupid, but it completely did a Rebel Moon straight into theatres.
So go on, Kaz. I have not seen a single piece of marketing for Horizon.
So that's the point.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm saying they all, instead, they went, hey, this is going to be epic. Are we going to make four of these? You'll really want to see it. We're going to release one now and one in a couple of months. Go and see it. It's 3 hours long. It's great. They did all of this like on social media. Oh, we finished shooting the first one, delayed the second one. Now we're shooting it. We're shooting the third and fourth back to back. You'll really want to see this. And then when it's actually released, I remember checking the cinema times. I wanted to see it. Yeah. And there were no times the week before. Like, it's not even that there weren't any trailers and there was no posters around, but there was no even cinema times up. So I think that Horizon, I mean, it's just died a death in the cinema and is being released on digital. I think they over-egged the whole notion that the internet would go wild for four 3-hour westerns. I think they should have made one good film.
Yeah,
promoted it right, and then seen how that went.
Well, that's sort of less, but that's just more the modern landscape, which, you know, we've talked about before, haven't we, with the superheroes. There is so easy this notion of every film now has to be part of a bigger universe. Why? You know, are we not starting to see a backlash against this now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Mission Impossible fails because it sticks the words part one in its title, then Jesus Christ, you know, what's going on? So interestingly enough, I mean, where should marketing go? Where would we want marketing to go? Here you go. Marketeers watching this, both of you, you know, get your pads out, you know, because we're going to give you loads of free consultancy advice here.
This I'm worried gold, that in the last 40 right? minutes, Listen. One of the three marketeers has died. I'm worried for you.
So go on then. So Kaz,
yes.
What would make you? What would tickle your interest bones if it came to a new film?
No, do two trailers. Do a teaser trailer that I'll watch that shows nothing and can even be something that's not in the final movie, that is literally a shadow silhouette of Wolverine's claws. That kind of nonsense.
A mood okay? book.
Yeah, I'm good with a teaser that lasts 30 seconds. It's all I'll watch. And then do something for my kids, which is, you know, 90 seconds long. And don't ever show anything from the second half of the movie. I'm not even going to get close to the final act. Nothing from the second half. Okay, nice. Just use the time to trial sequence in the Top Gun Maverick trailer to be the key bit that you're selling in, you know, for the film. Mm-hmm. You can find something. And if your film doesn't have it, then market it a different way than showing the big boom at the end.
Nice. What about you, Mr. Crust?
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, go back to old styles of trailers. You know, when there wasn't everything in the trailer, just you're creating interest, you're creating intrigue, you're creating mystery. You want people to go and see it, so you don't give everything away.
Hey.
I think that works.
And to your point, Mark, none of the interviews. I don't need any of the opinions. Mm. Save it for the extras that the people aren't going to watch. More on that later.
More on that later.
don't clog up the sort of political landscape with opinions. Yeah. Just instead
talk about the film
and jump on top of any social viral bandwagons. You know, Barbenheimer style.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Embrace that. I think there's no reason to spend that much money. I think a part of the budgeting, this idea of doubling the budget, this notion of doubling it for marketing is also a little bit, it would be unfair of me not to say that I think a part of that is the, in inverted commas, exchange rate of box office returns to actual studio results.
Mm.
So there's a little bit of it there. I'm not sure that like a $400 million movie spends $400 million on marketing. I think a $400 million movie spends $200 million on marketing. And $200 million is the exchange rate to get $400 million back to the studios.
I mean, some might argue that what they spend on marketing depends on how much they have to pay their star in terms of percentage points on profit.
Yeah, I'm sure.
If you know what I mean.
Whatever it is, I don't think millions and hundreds of millions on marketing makes any sense for any movie ever.
I agree, especially as all we seem to hear now is more negative about marketing than good. That wasn't what the film was supposed to be. It ruined the key moments. It ruined that. I don't hear anyone go, "Oh, that was a good trailer." I don't hear anyone ever saying it.
It doesn't often happen. And I think you're absolutely right that key to Long Legs, I haven't seen the trailer and I haven't seen the film, but key to Long Legs' success is not only the trailer that captured the mood, but the trailer that didn't mislead people into then giving it negative reviews.
Totally.
So that the positive reviews could feed into the good word of mouth. So you have to set the expectations right, because you can't just launch a trailer, get it all wrong, mess it all up for anybody, and then hope the review feedback will be positive enough.
Perfect. You know what? I'm still stung by Alien versus Predator Requiem. honestly, do you know what? I know I'm focusing on this franchise now, but honestly, go back and watch the Red Band trailer for that film. It made it look like it was the greatest film you have ever seen.
I remember watching the first Alien versus Predator movie and thinking, I will never watch this
this
pairing again. And then watching the trailer, the red band, like you described for the second one, and thinking, oh, I think I'll watch that.
Yeah. You know, we were all sucking in.
Only to find it's
wines.
Mildly better than the other one.
Oh, dear. So anyway, marketing people listening, go and watch the original trailer for Alien. Go watch the original trailer for Aliens. And that's it. That's all we want to see from now on. Trailers shot like that, that are about mood, ambience, give a little bit of what's going on, but tell us nothing.
Yeah,
jobs are good. And
I think mood trailers are really good. Yes.
Well, watch anything that Alfred Hitchcock did.
Oh,
they were some damn good trailers.
Oh, yes.
That is a good... Yeah, but he did some damn good movies.
Well, yeah.
You know.
But Si's right. Because those trailers were literally him standing there going...
Him standing there saying,
hello,
I've made this film.
Good evening. I've made a film. I think you might like it. It might be all right. Please come and watch it. And you know what? They were brilliant.
Everyone did.
Oh, man. Mr. Cross, that is a shout. Yes, I've forgotten those trailers. Brilliant. Manny, I don't think I want to see many modern dad. Could you imagine Zack Snyder doing that for Rebel Moon Part 3?
I could actually imagine Zack Snyder coming on, telling us how it's more popular than Barbie.
Oh.
And, you know, yes,
quality.
I could fully imagine that.
Oh.
Renaming his director's cuts arbitrary names. Yep. He's full on.
Oh, comedy.
But funnily enough, he's still cleverer than the guy who makes four westerns, releases them at part ones in the cinema, because he got his money up front from a streaming service where no one really knows how many people have watched them.
Mm,
you know, no
true.
One really knows how much they're creatively worth.
Very true. Mm. And you know what? I suppose ultimately, though, nowadays, I mean, this might actually be part of it. Nowadays, maybe marketing has got a plan B, which is if it don't work, get it out on streamers, get it out on digital so we can quit.
Yes.
So it's almost like they've got an inbuilt plan B. If it don't work and it don't make money, stuff it, just throw it out and move on.
Well, we mentioned that on Horizon, and we mentioned that on Bike Riders.
Exactly.
I've just seen Bike Riders, and it's coming, I think it's coming to Sky like next week. It's fine. It's fine, but for a movie which has been 20 years in the making, it's absolutely not fine that this is what we get. And there's no marketing around it. I don't know what marketing they could have done, but it's...
I don't know. I saw a trailer for Bike Riders and thought, "Yep, I ain't gonna see that."
Yeah. Okay. So there you go. I think it is what it is, but.
Yeah,
I think that there is an element of they're going to use streaming. They're going to have to figure out how they use streaming best.
Oh,
and
agree.
This is where it works. We'll just stick it straight on streaming.
Agree entirely. Agree. Oh, well, good. Yes. Marketing fixed. Thank you, market people.
Nice.
Get the checks in the post to us.
Wow. Is that that's it? That's it for this
that's it.
Podcast.
I mean, what more do you want? What else of the entertainment world do you want us to fix?
I want
Kaz?
Us to have marketed it better.
Yeah, brilliant.
<That's sad.
laughs> If anyone wants to come on and tell us how to market this podcast, let us know.
Better title,
I have
maybe.
No idea how to do it.
Teaser trailers.
Yeah.
Don't show the ending.
Three. Don't show us three, for God's sake.
I feel like
mind you,
no
Cassie's
one
hair,
could have
that's good
expected.
Enough.
Yeah, this hair is good.
That's true.
Oh, I feel sorry for people who are not actually watching this. They get to miss out on this. Oh, I love it. Thank you, Austin Butler.
Oh,
that's it
dear.
For the AV Forums podcast this month. My thanks to the movies team. If you enjoyed the podcast, please give us a like and subscribe to the channel. Hit the notification bell so you don't miss out when we publish our live streams, product reviews, and more. If you really like the podcast, buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/avforums. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook and bookmark avforums.com for the latest reviews, news, and more. Plus, why not leave us a 5-star rating on whichever service you use, if they allow, but only if you really enjoyed the show. Thank you for watching and listening. Join us for another podcast real soon.
Real soon.
Adieu.